Nesechtes Bar Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud, four lines from the top of Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, Hahu Shtari, Davi Kosev Beishin in Stoma, there was a Shtar, which was a Meshkata de Surah. For example, Reuven lent $1,000 to Shimon, and their deal was that Shimon would give his Sada to Reuven, and Reuven would be able to use it for a specific amount of years, and then Reuven would have to give the Sada back to Shimon. And even though generally the Shtar would specify the amount of years that Reuven could keep the Sada and could use the Sada in order to create Piris and pay off his loan, however, in this case, this term was missing from the shtar, and as Rashi says, "Blei pirish boy minin hashanim." And Malva Amesholish, the Malva says that the deal was that I will keep the land for 3 years, and Leiva Amestayim, and the borrower says that the deal was that the lender would keep the field for 2 years, because the Malva Vachlinu Leperi, and prior to coming to Bezdin, the Malva already consumed the piris of the 3rd year. Mi Neman, and the Shaila is who would be believed? And Bihuda Imekaka Beches Balei Kaima, Bihuda hold that the Leiva would win, as he has a chazaka on the kaka, and even though the piris were already eaten, but lemaisa we always consider the malva to be the mitzi mechaveri, and therefore the malva would have to bring a raya that his right was for 3 years and not only for 2 years. And as Rashi says, afagav loy tovi ab acha achilas piris, that even though Shimon did not bring the lender to Bezdin until after the lender already ate the piris, and nan basar kaka zilion, we still look at the kaka v'chi misafkel on shana zu shami uki ara becheskes mari v'shloy kedin achlin lepiris. And therefore Reuven had no right to eat these pears. However, Rav Kana states Piris Becheskes Echlein Kayimei, that since the lender already consumed these Piris, therefore he is Muchzik in the Piris, and Hamaitzi Mechaber all of a Raya, and the borrower would have to bring a Raya, and Behilchas Kabasi Rav Kana, the Omer Piris Becheskes Echlein Kayimei, we passing like Rav Kana, that the lender is considered the Muchzik since he already consumed these Piris, and therefore he would not have to pay the borrower, and if the borrower wants to be paid, he'll have to bring a Raya, that the Shtar was for a 2 year period and not for a 3 year period. And the Gemara now is, how can you pass on Rav Kana, the Kai Malon, but we have a general rule, the Hilchas HaKavasa Rav Nachman Bedini, that the Halacha follows Rav Nachman Bedigei Adinim, and the Oman, we previously had a case where Rav Nachman Paskin, that Kaka Becheses Balei Medes, and we saw on Daf Kuf Beis and Beis, the case where Reuven leased out his bathhouse to Shimon, and the deal was, Shneim Asa Zehuvim L'Shana, Medina Zav L'Chodesh, and they made two statements, number one, it will be 12 Zehuvim for an entire year, and he then said that it will be a Dina Zav for every single month, and the shaila was that if there would be an ibishana and now there was an extra month, would the tenant still have to pay only 12 zehuvim for the entire year, including adasheni, or would he have to pay an extra dina, as they stated dina zav l'chodesh? And the shaila was if tafas lashon rishon or tafas lashon achrin. And Reb Nachman said that kaka b'ches balel imedes, and therefore even if you took the tenant to court at the end of the month, you would still be able to collect the extra month rent because kaka b'ches balel imedes. And l'chayru, since we passing like Rav Nachman Bedini, so l'chayru the psak should be like Rav Yehuda, and the borrower should always win, and the malva should be the one that has to bring a raya that his deal was for a 3 year period. And the Gemara continues as Michalik as Hasan Milsa Levida Legluyahi, that in the case of Rav Nachman there was a shayla in Tafas Lashon Rishon or Tafas Lashon Achrin, and we'll never know what the halacha is, as it's a safek lahalacha, and therefore we're passing that kaka b'ches balei medes, and that will always be the psak that the tenant would have to pay for adasheni, and there will be no raya that the tenant could bring to actually overturn that psak. However, hocha milsa davidul gluhi, over here it's actually a shaila mitzias, and even if we will pass like the loiva and we will say that the malva has to pay for the pears that he ate during the 3rd year, however at some point it could be that the malva will actually bring a raya that the shtar was actually for 3 years, and for example he'll bring edim that say that we know that the shtar was actually written and the malva had a right to use the pears and use this field for 3 years, and if so at that point we would have to go back to the borrower, and we take the money back from the borrower and give it to the lender, and that would cause a bezoyin to Bezin. And as the Gemara says, and we're not matriach Bezin to go and paskin 2 different times. And of course, we would rather that we never cause Bezin to have to overturn a psak. And as Rashi says, that really the din would be like the malva that he had a right to the payers for 3 years. And then we'll have to overturn a psak. and take the money back from the leiva at a later point. And the Gemara continues with a new scenario relevant to a shtar of mashkanta de surah, malva on mechamesh and leiva in mesholish. If the malva says that our deal was that I lent you $100,000 and I had a right to keep the sada for 5 years, and the leiva says that the deal was that you only had a right to use the sada for 3 years, on malay icily shtarach, and the leiva says to the malva, so bring me your shtar in order to prove that you had a right to use the sada for 5 years, on malay, and the malva says shtari irkusly that I lost the shtar. So I'm Rabbi Huda says malva nemon, that the malva would be nemon, as migudu bay amal lekuchri biyadai, that since he could have stated that I really bought the sada, and the only reason why I don't have the shtar is because I lost the sada, and we know that a chazaka of gimel shanim works, and you don't have to keep your shtar forever. And since the malva could have claimed that I really bought this sada and I have a right to use the sada forever, and he only claimed that I really lent the money and I only have a right to use the sada for 5 years, therefore he has a migu and he would be neman. However, omle a popular Ravashi, Rav Papa says to Ravashi, Rav Zvidra Avira le sfir luhod Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Zvidra Avira agrin Rabbi Yehuda, and they hold that the migu would not work in this case. And as we will see, it's considered migu b'makom edim, and my time and was the reason haishtar kibin l'gavaynikai mizah zarbei, that since the shtar was initially made in order to collect money from, as he was a malva and he wasn't a buyer, and therefore we have to be choshish, quite possibly the lender just hid away the shtar, and he thought that he would be able to make a claim and be able to use the sada for an additional 2 years, and even though his original deal was to use the sada for 3 years, he will claim that the shtar stated that he had a right to use the sada for 5 years. And Rashi explains that the reason why Rizvit and Ravira do not agree with Rabbi Huda is Vilei Amino Migu, they hold that a Migu doesn't work, as it's considered a Migu Makam Edim, Shadvar Mechikon Shiramoi, as it's Muchach from his words that he's a liar, Sha'oma Oved Ashtar, and he said he lost the Shtar, the High Shtar Le Domil Shtar Zvini, as a note for a loan is not similar to a Shtar Zvini, the Ilu Shtar Zvini Le Eidus Shemachal Huba, as the reason why a person writes a Shtar when he buys something is in order to be a Raya that he bought this item, Vichad Eilim Taimel Le Zarbai. Do you think that a person has to hold on to his shtar forever? Certainly, Am Rabbanan Bey Atlashnin Matzil Zurei Inish Bishtara Tveilay Mizdara. The Rabbanan said that a person keeps their shtar for 3 years, and more than that is not normal for them to keep. And once it's after 3 years, by the fact that he doesn't have a shtar, that is not a riot, he doesn't own the sada, and potentially he still owns the sada as long as he has a chazaka shiyeshi mataino. The Drashi says the kasav, because a person thinks lo yetsi oid irola, that no one will come vima ara me, and as to my ownership, alvazeshu. However, in the case of a note, where the reason to have the shtar is in order to prove how many years you have a right to eat the payers of the sada, therefore, and certainly he should have been careful not to lose the shtar in order to be able to prove that he has a right to eat the payers for a specific amount of years, and he has to hold it until the end of that term. And even though the Malva says they lost the shtar, he's not Naman, as we will say that's a Migur Makam Edim, as the Michbishu de Kafshe is certainly he hid away the shtar in order to be able to claim that he has a right to use it for 5 years, even though he really only had a right to use the sada for 3 years. And the Gemara also states, Amar Ravina Ravashi, Ravina asked another question to Ravashi, that if Rabbi Huda is correct that there is a Migu, Elamata, Hai Mashkanta de Surah, the Kasvi Hochi, Bemishlam Shani Ilan, that once the Malva uses the sada for a specific number of years, Tepik Aradol Bele Kesef, then the land goes back to the Leva and the loan is considered fully paid, and the leiva doesn't owe any more money to the malva. In any case where the malva actually hides that shtar, and the lender will claim that he actually bought the sada, do we think that we would believe him? Do you think the rabbanon would be misaken this content of the shtar meshkanta, which has such a potential for fraud and will potentially cause a major loss to a borrower? The Gemara tells us, Omalei, Sir Rav Ashi respond to Ravina, that in the standard case of Mashkanta de Surah, so Rabbanon will misakin that the actual owner of the land or the borrower should continue to pay the property taxes, and this way he's showing his bailus. And in addition, the borrower should always continue to fix the border and to make sure that he takes care of the field, and this way the lender will never be able to taina that he actually bought the sada, and since the borrower is continuing to pay the property taxes and is continuing to take care of the boundary mark, therefore it's clear that he's only using this sada based on a mashkin and not based on the fact that he bought the sada, and it'll be as if it's a chazaka she'eni motayna, and in that case, in a chinami, the lender will not not be believed that he bought the sada. And the Gemara continues, Arid Lesli Kari of Leyav Taskamai, what would happen if there's a land where there is no property tax and the owner doesn't have to pay any taxes and there was no need for the owner to fix the borders, and in that case, L'chaira, you don't have any right at your Bailim, and in that case, the lender should be able to have a taina that I actually bought this sada, and L'chaira, that would cause a major loss to the borrower. The Gemara says, in that case, that the actual owner and the borrower should always be meicha and make sure people know that Reuven is only using his sada based on a mashkanta de sura and not based on ownership. And as Rashi says, that the borrower will say, that everyone should know that I did not sell this sada to him, elihi mashkan biyadai, and it's only a mashkan in his hands. The Gemara says, lo im chamai, what would happen if he actually is not meicha? And the Gemara says, ihu da'afsin avshai, we can't protect the borrower in that case, as certainly he caused this loss for himself, as he should have been meicha. And the Gemara continues and goes back to dealing with the case of a sharecropper. Oris oimel mechza yirati, l'baal bayis oimel shisharativ minemon, that if the sharecropper says that my deal with the owner of the field was that I will receive 50% of the produce, and the baal bayis says my deal with the sharecropper was that he will only receive a third of the crops, who is nemon? Rabbi Yehuda oimel baal bayis nemon. Rabbi Yehuda says the baal bayis is nemon, as a mitzi mechaveir olav raya, and Rabbi Nachman oimel hakol kiminig hamedina. Rabbi Nachman says that we go based on the minig hamedina, and the Gemara states sovim mina, that Talmidim thought that loy pligi, there is no machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman. Haba aso the shakar risa palga. Rabbi Nachman was talking about a scenario where the minig hamedina was that a sharecropper received 50% of the profits, therefore the aris would be nemon, and the baal bayis would have to bring a raya that their deal was different than the minig hamedina. However, haba aso the shakar risa tilsa, if the minig hamakim was that the sharecroppers all received a third of the produce, then Rabbi Yehuda is correct that the baal bayis would be nemon and the aris would have to bring a raya. And keep in mind that later on Rashi points out that when the Gemara stated baal bayis nemon, it doesn't mean that the baal bayis would be nemon and would not have to make a shvua, but we also have to make a shvua's heses. And the Gemara continues, Amlu Ramari, brother by Shmuel, Ramari, who was the son of the daughter of Shmuel, and as we explained previously, that Rachel, the daughter of Shmuel, was captured. She had a child with Issa Geura, and even though Issa eventually became a ger, but Ramari was a Rashi Shalei B'kedusa V'lei Dasa B'kedusha, and therefore we call him brother by Shmuel, Hachiyam Abaya, and he says that Abaya stated, Afilu Ba'asu the Shakla Risa Palga, that even if the Minigah Makan was that a sharecropper would get 50%, Pligi, and even so, there is machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman, and Rabbi Yehuda Amar Baal Bayis Nemon, and even in this case, Rabbi Yehuda says the Baal Bayis is Nemon to say that we went against the Minig HaMakim, and I actually only promised him a third, and he only has a right to 33%. And the reason why the Baal Bayis is Nemon against the Minig is because the Ibaya Amar Schirib Lakitihu, that if the Baal Bayis wanted a lie, then he could have said that the sharecropper was not a sharecropper at all, and he was just a hired helper. And as Rashi says, Schirib Liyomim, he was hired for days, or for months, or for a cycle of Shemitah, and I hired him at a set salary, and therefore, based on the fact that he could have said, so therefore he's never to say that he was an Urus, but Lamaisai only promised to give him a third of the payers and not 50%. And Rashi points out, as we mentioned, and when we said that the Baal Bayis is Neman, it means that he's Dafka Neman with the Shavuos Heses. However, Nachman holds that since the standard is that a person would hire a sharecropper and would pay him 50%, therefore this would be a migu b'makam edim, and the sharecropper would be nemo with a shvu assesses, unless the bailim bring a raya that he actually hired the sharecropper for 33% and he went against the minig hamedina. And the Gemara continues that we know that metalti diyasmi loy mishtab del bal chayiv, but the kaka of yisaimin that they were yerush from the father is meshubatu bal chayiv. However, if the father owed $100,000 to Reuven and then he died and he left the property over to the Yarshim that was valued at $50,000 at the time of death, and then the Yarshim improved the property and now the property is worth $100,000, so the lender only has a right to collect the original $50,000 that the owner left to his Yarshim, and he can't collect $100,000 as the extra $50,000 of value was created by the Yarshim. The Gemara therefore continues and has the following Shaila, that the Yisayim claimed that we actually created the $50,000 of value, and the Bachayu claims that it was already worth $100,000 at the point that your father died. It was because of your father that the property improved prior to him dying, and therefore I have a right to collect the full $100,000 from this property. Amilavi Raya, who has a responsibility to bring a Raya? And we continue on Daf Kuf Yudam Beis. Sover Chonino Meimos, Sover Chonino thought to say, Ara Bechesis Yasmi Kaimoi, that the land is now in the chazak of the Yisraimim, and therefore the Balchoy would have to bring a raya, and until he brings a raya, he could only collect $50,000. The Gemara continues, so Amalei Ahusaba, this older person said to Rab Chanina, and some say that Ahusaba always refers to Eliyahu HaNavi, Hachiyam Rabichon, so said Rabichon, Al Yisraim Lavi Raya, that the Yisraim actually have to bring a raya, and my time, and why is that? Ara, Kibin Al-Gavayinu Kaima, commanded Gavi Adamia, that since the lender had a lien against the land, therefore it's considered as if the lender has a chazaka on the land, and Baal Yisraim Lavi Raya, and therefore the Yisraim have to bring a raya, that the land was only valued at $50,000 at the time that the father died. And if the Yisraim cannot bring a raya, then the lender has a right to collect the entire sada and collect $100,000. And the Gemara continues, Amar Abaye, and Abaye explained, Afanana Metina, that we also learned a similar din to this din of Rabbi Yechon. And Abaye will discuss a mission that we have in Masechta Bava Basra on Daf Chav Dalid. And the Mishnah begins and states that it was considered a beautification of a city to leave an open area around the city. And therefore the din is that Machikas Yitlo Minair Esav Vechame Shama, that you have to distance fruit trees away from a city by 25 amis in order to leave an area around the city which is open and which doesn't have any trees. Mishnah also states if there are carob trees or sycamore trees which have a lot of branches and the branches are very long, you have to leave an open space of 50 amis outside the city, and you can't plant these trees within 50 amis of the city. The Mishnah teaches us that if the city was first and then someone went and planted a tree in this area where you were not allowed to plant the tree, then we will cut down the tree. You don't have to pay money back to the person who planted the tree, as Lemaisa, he went against the din, and he wasn't allowed to plant the tree there. However, the Mishnah states that if the person planted a tree there, and then the city was established only after the tree was already planted, then although the din is that we would still have a right to cut down that tree, however, we would have to pay the owner of the tree for the tree. And the Mishnah teaches us, Safek Zek Kadam, the Safek Zek Kadam, if there's a Safek, if the tree was before the city, or if the city was established before the tree, then certainly you could cut down the tree, because in either case, the din is that you cut down the tree, and it doesn't make a difference if the city was before the tree, or if the tree was established before the establishment of the city, we always have a right to cut down the tree. However, it is now a suffix if we have to pay money back to the owner of the tree or not, and then we say, and therefore we see that since in any case we have to cut down the tree, so then we say that the person that owns a tree has to bring a raya in order to collect his money, and hachinami, and therefore in our case as well, that since this borrower has a shtar, and the main purpose of the shtar was in order for him to be able to collect from the sada, and he has a lien against this kaka, so command the gavya damio, we look at it as if the baumva actually collected the sada and already took the sada, and therefore the yisayim would have to bring a raya, as we stated. And as Rashi states, that just like Benegiah, the case of the tree, that since we're going to certainly cut down the tree, so therefore the suffix is only if we owe money to the balabayas and to the owner of the tree or not, so then we say that the balabayas has to bring a raya. And as we will see, in the case of kaka that a lender is collecting from the yisayim, he really has a right to collect the entire kaka from the yisayim, and then he would have to pay them back the amount of shvach that they added to the kaka, and therefore Mimonoshach, he has a right to take the entire kaka, and then there's a shaylift, the yisayim have a right to get money back, and therefore the amitz mechaveri and all of the raya, and the yisayim are required to bring a raya. And as Rashi says, hilkach gavi arim ashvach mimonoshach, mimonoshach, the lender has a right to collect the entire land, nimsa yisayim toivin lahoitzim imenu valei in haraya. And the Gemara continues, I see yasmi raya de inu ashbachu, what would happen if the yisayim actually brought a raya, that they actually improved the kaka, and that when the father died, the kaka was only worth $50,000, and they improved it to $100,000. So Rav Chanina thought to say that since the lender is only entitled to $50,000, therefore the lender could only take 50% of this field, and the other 50% of the field, he has to give back to the Yisraimim. However, the Gemara states, Veloyi, that is not correct, as B'dom Misalkinalu, that in reality the lender has a lien against the kaka, and therefore he'll collect the entire kaka that's now worth $100,000, and he will give $50,000 of cash to the Yisraimim, and he has a right to keep the kaka. And this is based on Rab Nachman, Dom Rab Nachman Amar Shmuel, Shloisha Shomel HaMaseh Shvach U'Malon HaLeisa B'domim, that there are three cases where we evaluate the improvements and the other party gets paid back with money and not with kaka. Ve'elu hein, B'char L'Poshet U'Bachoy V'Ksubis Ishul Yisraimim U'Bachoy V'Lekuchais. So the case of B'char L'Poshet is in a case where a father dies and he leaves over two children, one One is a Bechor and one is a Poshet, and the Bechor, of course, gets Pishnayim, but we know in a Bechor, Neutel Pishnayim, Bishvach, Sheshpichu, Nechosim, Lachem, Misavien, that the Bechor only has a right to Pishnayim on the value of the estate at the time of his father's death. But if the Bechor and the Poshet actually create improvements in the Kako after the father's death, then those profits are split evenly between the Bechor and the Poshet, and as we know, that the Bechor is not Neutel Pishnayim, Beroy, Kebemuchzik, and as the Pasuk says, Bechol Yishim Matziloi, that the Bechor only receives Pishnayim on anything which was around at the time of the father's death. And therefore, if, for example, a father left $1,200 of assets to his children, then of course the Bechor would receive $800, then the Poshet would receive $400. If the Bechor and Poshet actually increased the value of the Sada by $300, then even though the Pashtas, the Bechor should receive $200 and the Poshet should receive $100, however, they split that money evenly and the Bechor gets $150 and the Poshet gets $150. However, the din is that the Bechor could actually keep 2/3 of the Sada and he could make up the difference by paying cash to the Poshet, and he's not required to give Karka to the Poshet. And the second case is about Chayv Uksubis Isha, that we know that Baal Chayv and a woman could receive her Ksuba and their debt from the Karka of the Yisayimim, and if the Yisayimim Mashpiach that Karka, then the lender and the husband's wife has a right to the full Karka, and then they would have to make a Cheshbon with the Yisayimim and pay the Yisayimim back for the amount of money that they increased the property based on their improvements. And clearly from this din, we see it against Rabbi Chanina, as we see that the lender only has to give back money and doesn't have to give land back to the Yisayimim. And finally, the third case is Balchayv L'Lekuchayz, that if Reuven borrowed $1,000 from Shimon, and Shimon has a lien against Reuven's Kaka, and Reuven sold a piece of Kaka to Levi, which at that time was worth $1,000, and then Levi improved the Kaka, and now that parcel of land is worth $2,000. So when Shimon forecloses on this piece of property, Shimon can take the entire property, even though the value is $2,000, and he could just pay $1,000 back to Levi. Rashi explains the time of the kulu, and the reason for all three of these dinim is Mishum de Mikora Ardidehu, because we look at it as if this Kaka already belonged to the one who has a right to take the Kaka. And therefore, we can't require him to give them kaka if he has money and he could pay them off with mice. And the Gemara will explain that our Gemara is specifically talking about a case where this kaka was an apaitiki. And for example, at the time of the loan, the borrower told the lender apaitiki that this is the field that you'll be able to collect from. And therefore, it's considered as if the lender already collected this field and he has a right to keep the entire field. And even though the value went up, he only has to make a payment of that differential to the borrower, and the lender doesn't have to give kaka to the borrower as payment for his increased value. And the Gemara continues, Amli Ravina Ravashi, Ravina said to Ravashi that from the last din that you brought down from Shmuel, the Memer, the son of Shmuel, Balchayv Lukuchais, that you're telling me that Shmuel holds that Balchayv has to pay back the increase of value, and he has to pay that to Lukuchais, and even though you said he doesn't have to give him kaka, but specifically you said that he has to give him value, and he has to give him money. And the Gemara asks, Miyesh Leshvach Lekech, that isn't really true, that if the value of the Kaka went up, that the Lekech would be able to be reimbursed from the lender. And the Gemara asks, Vam Shmuel, but Shmuel himself stated, Bal Chayv Goyves HaShvach, that Bal Chayv is Goyva all of the increase in value, and he doesn't have to give it back to the Lekech at all. And the Gemara continues, V'chitema Loy Kasha, and if you're going to tell me it's not Shver, Kam B'Shvach HaMegil Ksefayim, then when Shmuel stated, Shloish HaShem Lemes HaShvach, we're talking about a case where the Lekech actually had pears which were ready to be picked off of the field, and therefore when the Malva comes and takes away this field, he definitely has to pay for the value of those pears. And when Shmuel stated Balchoyev Goyves HaShvach and the Lekech doesn't get reimbursed, Kan B'Shvach She'im Magil Ksefayim, we're talking about an increase of value of the Kaka itself, and there were no pears in the Sada. In that case, Lekech would not be reimbursed for his improvements, and even though the Sada went up in value, the Balchoyev would keep that value and the Lekech would lose out, and the only way for the Lekech to be made whole is for the Lekech to go back to the Meicha and collect on his guarantee. But the Gemara says that you can't explain that is what Shmuel meant, because the Kamag B'Shmuel Afilu B'Shvach HaMegil Ksefayim, and Shmuel even allowed a Balchayev to collect the Kaka and even collect those pears that are ready to be picked and ready to put on the person's shoulders. And we see that even in that case, Shmuel holds that a Balchayev is Goyves HaShvach and the Lekech doesn't have a right to the Shvach, and even to the Shvach that's Megil Ksefayim. And the Gemara continues and answers that there's a chiluk between the two dinim of Shmuel, loy kasha had the masik be kashir arav shvacha, and had the loy masik be kashir arav Gemara Shvacha, then the first brisa when Shmuel stated Shloisha Shamalim Masif Shvach Malansim Bedamim, and his last case was Balchayv Lukuchais, that was talking about a scenario where the lender lent $1,000, and now that he went and collected the kaka was actually worth $2,000, and certainly in that case, even though the lender has a right to keep the full sada that's valued at $2,000, but he has to make up the difference to the lekeach, and he has to pay $1,000 of cash to the lekeach. However, when Shmuel stated that Balchayv is Gevis HaShvach, he was talking about a scenario where Reuven borrowed $1,000 from Shimon, and then Reuven went and sold the sada to Levi that was worth $500, and now the lekeach improved the sada, but the sada is still worth only $1,000, and therefore when Shimon comes to collect the sada, he's collecting exactly the same amount of the loan that he gave to Reuven, and therefore he has a right to take the entire sada, including the shvach, and he doesn't have to pay anything to the lekeach. And the Gemara continues, v'chiloy masik shir arav shvacha, that we just stated that if Shimon went and collected the field from Levi, and as we explained, the field was originally worth $1,000, and now that Levi improved the property, it's now worth $2,000, so when Shimon comes to collect the sada from Levi, he could collect the entire sada, but he owes $1,000 to Levi, and as the Gemara states, that all Shimon has to do is give $1,000 to Levi, and Levi cannot demand that he should become a partner in the sada and keep 50% of the kaka, which is worth $1,000. So the Gemara points out, this works out very well according to the mandama that holds that when a lender has a lien against a property, even if the buyer has money, he can't tell the lender that I want to pay off the chayiv and I want to keep the kaka, as lemaisa the lender has the lien against the kaka prior to him buying the sada, and the lender could say I want the kaka, and he could tell the buyer that although the borrower could have paid me off in cash, but now that I had to foreclose on the sada, I want the sada, and you have no right to buy off the kaka, and you can't pay off the borrower's loan, and therefore in our case as well, the lekeach can't pay off the loan, and the lekeach only has a monetary claim, and the lender's lien precedes the lekeach's purchase of this property, and therefore the lekeach does not have a claim to keep the kaka. El lemad ama islay zuzul lekeach matzim misalkel balchayv. But according to the mad ama mesechtes ksubis that holds that if the lekeach does have money, then he could tell the lender that you can't take the kaka from me, and instead I will pay off the loan. The name malay. So then let the lekeach say to the lender, I have a lezuzi, have meslikel lach bekula ara, that if I would actually have $1,000, then I would be able to pay off your loan, and you would not be able to take the kaka from me at all. Hashta the lesli zuzi, and even though I don't have $1,000, but lemaisa you owe me the cash equivalent of $1,000, and havli griva da ara baroi shir shvachoi, and therefore you should give me a small parcel of land, which will equal the amount of land that I have a right to, based on the amount of improvements that I put into a land, and based on our example, where the improvements went from $1,000 to $2,000, so the lender should be entitled to keep 50% of the land, and the buyer should be entitled to 50% of the land. And the Gemara answers, in a chenami, in a normal scenario, that would be a very good tain of the lekeach, but hachar ma'iskina could go into shavnin olal apaitiki, that in a chenami, we're talking about a specific scenario, where originally when the lender lent $1,000 to the borrower said that this field should be at apaitiki, and therefore the lender had a lien against this specific property, and the amalei, and the borrower said to the lender at the time of the loan, lo yehila b'chorayin elab mizu, that you should only receive your payment from this kaka, and therefore it says if the lender already owns this kaka, and therefore even according to the man d'am mesechtes ksubas that holds that islay zuzul lekech matzi misalkel lebal chayiv, but this right does not apply in a case of apaitiki, and the lekech does not have a right to say that I want a piece of kaka. The lender could decide to keep the entire kaka and pay him the cash value of his improvements. And we continue with the new mishnah mekabel sada mechaver l'shavua echa b'shava meyazuz. If Reuven leased a field from Shimon for a shemitah cycle and they made a deal that the payment would be 700 zuz, then Reuven will have a right to use the sada for the next 7 years, and shvius is counted amongst those years, and we don't say that since you can't plant during the seventh year, it must be that the deal was that he would get 8 years, and that would be 7 usable years, and even though the price was $700, which is divisible by 7 years, and it seems like he meant to have 7 years of actual production, however, since the lease stated that he's mekabel the sada l'shavua echad, therefore it means for 7 years, even though that shemitah will be within the 7 years. However, the Mishnah continues, kibli menu sheva shanim b'sheva meizuz, ein shvius min aminyan. If Reuven leased the field from Shimon for 7 years for $700, then shemitah is not included in the count, and Reuven really meant to say that I want to lease this field for 7 years that I could produce payrus, and ultimately he'll be able to keep the field for 8 years, including the year of Shemitah. And the Mishnah now continues to discuss the dinim of the poyel, and the pasuk in Pashas Kedoshim states, Le'sashek esriachav le'sigzol le'solim pul ha'sachir itcha adbeika, and the pasuk in Pashas Kisei states, B'yom etitin schorei v'le'sovit lo v'shemesh ki anuhu v'eilav hu noisiyas nafshoi v'le'yikra lecha l'ashem v'hoye b'chachet. And the Mishnah states, Chir yoyim, that there's a worker that works during the daytime and he finishes his work at the end of the day, goy v'kol ha'layla, then his time to collect his payment and his wages would be the entire night and for the next 12 hours. And if the owner doesn't pay him during that period of time, then the owner and the employer would be oiva on the Yisurim of Baal Talin. And similarly, Schir Laila goy v'kol ha'yayim, if there's an employee that works during the night, then the employer has to pay him during the next day. And if he doesn't do so, then he would be oiva on the Issa of B'yayim etitin schorev le'savit lav ha'shemesh ki anihu. And Rashi points out that the first two dinim of our Mishnah are also relevant in the gear an employee being believed that he wasn't paid. And as we will see, that if an employee comes into Beis Din during the time that he was supposed to be paid and he claims that the employer did not pay him, then he would be able to make a shvua and receive payment, and he doesn't have to bring edim that he wasn't paid. And as Rashi states, Chir yoyim goyva kol ha'layla, sochir shepulas l'yoyim v'yetz l'erev goyva kol ha'layla, kol ha'layla huzman g'viyosai, bein l'in yishvua shetik l'chacham sochir bizmanu nishba v'noitol, bein l'in she'in ha'ivula mishum l'sovel av ha'shemesh, and he's not going to be oiva on the Issa l'sovel av ha'shemesh, el mishum l'solim pulasocha itcha ad b'icha, and he'll only be oiva on the Issa l'solim, and sochir l'ayla shiyotzu m'lachta b'icha, goyva kol ha'yoyim bein l'in yishvua, bein l'in she'in ha'ivula mishum bal tolin, el mishum l'sovel av ha'shemesh, over Gemara. And the Mishnah continues, if someone is hired for a specific number of hours and he's not hired for an entire day or entire night, then he has a right to collect his wages by night and by day. And the Gemara will have machlekes amroyim as to how to learn this piece of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah continues, Shabbos, if someone is hired for a week, or if he's hired for a month, or Shana, or if he's hired for a year, Shavuot, is hired for 7 years and for the year Mei Shemitah, if he leaves in the middle of the day, then he collects the rest of the day, and if he leaves at night, then he collects that night as well as the next day. The employer would be oiva on the Yisurim once he doesn't pay him during that time frame. And the Gemara begins, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned to the Braisa, so how do we know that it was a worker that worked the entire day, that the employer doesn't have to pay him during the day, and he has to pay him at night? That the Torah tells us that you should not hold back the wages of a worker until the morning, and how do you know that a worker that worked the entire night, that he doesn't collect at night, and instead he collects the next day, as the Pasuk says, you have to pay him his wages during the day, and the Pasuk also has an Issa and states, and the Gemara asks, then let us say that the opposite is true, and let us say that if someone worked for you during the day, then you have to make sure that you pay him that day, and if someone worked for you that night, then you have to pay him that same night. And the Gemara answers, we have a cloud that a poyel only gets paid once his job is complete, and therefore, if a person worked during the daytime and he worked until the end of the day, then certainly the only ischayvus is to pay him after that day, and he has to pay him that evening. However, if a person worked during the night, then the employer is not responsible to pay him until the job is finished, and therefore he doesn't have to pay him until the next morning. And Rashi brings the makar from Perek Ezun Deshech that we learn kischir shana b'shana schir shana zu mishtalemis b'tchil shana acheres alma le mishtabli l'schir. As we explain, and the Gemara continues, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned to the Braisa, by the fact that the Torah says that you should not keep the wages of a worker by you, and they use a lashon of lina, and lina means when something rests overnight. So any day is shad baika. So certainly we know that it means that you can't withhold the wages of a worker until the morning. So matam loy mat boika. So why does the Torah continue and say until the morning? And the Braisa tells us melame she'ino eva alad boika rishon bilvad, that the Torah is telling you that this issa only applies until the first morning. But after the first morning, there is no longer any further issa, and you won't receive a second issa mikam eilach mai. And what is the din from here on in? And Amrav and Rav states that ina chanami, you're not oiva on a drastic level, but oiva mishum baltashah, you're still going to be oiva an ister drabanan of withholding wages from your worker. And Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef states, Mikra, and what is the Makar, and where is the Smachta that there is an Issa Drabbanon? And he explains, because the Pasuk says in Mishlei, that you shouldn't tell your worker that you should go and come back, and meanwhile you have the money to pay him and you don't do so, and every single time that you tell him to go and come back, you will be oiv on this issa, and we will stop over here.